My name is Chris Harwood, filling in for Maya Morton, and today we are in the studio, live from Studio A, and we have in the studio today Jesse Cook, who is a Nuevo Flamenco guitarist. He's got his group with him today, and we're going to start off, I guess, music speaks louder than words. Let's have some music first. We'll start off, and we'll have a conversation with Jesse Cook. Take it away. Jesse Cook live in the studio today with his group here playing. What was the name of that tune, Jesse?
That's a song called Gaita, which is one of the songs that I recorded in Colombia last year.
Okay. Yeah. Now, this record you made in Columbia last year became the Rumba Foundation?
Is it was called the Rumba Foundation. The idea was that I was taking Rumba Flamenca, which is a hybrid that came from Spain at some point in the 1800s, and I was taking it back to the birthplace of the Rumba part of Rumba Flamenca, which is the Americas. And we're mixing Rumba Flamenca with Cuban music and Colombian music.
Okay, so now you just described rumba and flamenco. What are the two? What are the distinctions?
Well, flamenco is a music of the gypsies of southern Spain, a region called Andalusia, mm-hmm. and you know, there are a lot of different versions that I've heard from historians over the years. But you know, the sort of broad strokes are that the gypsies arrived in Spain some point during the 1400s, early 1400s, and by the late 1400s. Queen Isabel and King Ferdinand were kicking the gypsies, the Jews, and the Moors all out of Spain. So
yes.
They believe that was kind of the birthplace, that when those cultures, there was a massive exodus out of Spain, and then a lot of those people just actually went and hid in caves and, you know, went into the hills in Spain, and that those cultures kind of came together and flamenco was born. There are many different flamenco forms, but mm-hmm. The one that I was working on with the Rumba Foundation was Rumba Flamenca, and then taking it and mixing it with Colombian music and a little bit of other types of forms from the Americas, like Zouk and music from Cuba, that sort of thing.
You've been described as Nuevo Flamenco. Now, what distinguishes that from all of the other types of flamenco that's out there?
You know what? Definition has always been a big problem in my career. I'm not really sure what to call what I'm doing. I mean, it's obviously there are elements of Rumba Flamenco in what I'm doing, but there are elements of other types of music. I started off as a classical kid, and then I went to jazz school, and now, you know, I'm just kind of doing whatever feels good, and I try not to worry about it too much.
Okay. Now, you were born in France, in Paris.
I was born in Paris.
And you lived there for several years before you came to Canada, where your mother is from. Is that correct?
That's right. I was born in Paris, and my parents were both Canadians, and they were in Paris trying to do the artist thing. My dad, I think, wanted to be like a Hemingway, you know, live on the left bank and write his great novel.
Sure.
Anyway, my sister and I showed up somewhere along the line, and then we lived there for a few more years, and then my family moved to Canada. Back to Canada, and we had a house in the south of France that my parents had bought for about $100, and we would still, though we're spending our years in Canada, we'd spend our summers in France, and you know, the reason that I kind of harp on this is probably because, you know, I'm guessing that is where I got hooked on Rumba Flamenca, that, you know, it seemed like, you know, it was because my parents were living there that they heard Manitas de Plata, because they had those records as a five-year-old, those, you know, I was playing them and hearing that sound and getting interested in it. And then later my dad retired to Arles, which is in the south of France, and he happened to be neighbors with Nicolas Reyes, who was the lead singer of the Gypsy Kings. So
yes.
There was that connection,
uh-huh.
and that kind of sealed the deal for me, and that's why a Canuck, you know, a kid from Canada plays this kind of music.
You're a little more worldly than I think that distinction would indicate. But, well, let's turn to the piece of music, and then we'll introduce the band, let's hear some music.
This is a song called Tuesday's Child.
Okay. Thank you. Tuesday's Child by Jesse Cook, who is live in the studio with his band, I suppose what we would call them. Let's unmute you. There you go. What could you introduce them to?
Yeah, please? Yeah. This is Chris Church on the violin.
Okay.
And Chandy Leon over there on percussion. And Chandy's got a Darbuka bag over his head because the air conditioning is really strong in
it's
here.
It's chilly in here today.
And then Nick Hernandez on the guitar.
Welcome.
And then Trevor over here is doing our sound. Trevor Nash.
Well, welcome. So you guys are playing Big Top Chautauqua over in Wisconsin tonight, which is around here, sort of one of our cultural meccas for the summer. So
we're
looking forward to having you guys play there. So how long have you all been as a group playing together? Or is it
Different members, different amounts of time. I think Chris and I have been playing together the longest. We started in about 11 years ago, 10, 11 years ago? 2000, so yeah, 10 years ago. And then Nick and I, maybe 7 years at this point, and then Chandy, 4 years.
Wow. Well, long enough that you've all bonded well, I'm sure. So this new record has been out now for about a year or so?
Yeah, it came out almost a year ago. This September, it'll be a year. So,
Would you say that your style has changed over that? You've got several, I think 6 or 7 records out now.
Yeah. Well, certainly I try to have each record have its own sound. I mean, if you listen to Nomad, it's very influenced by working with Afrocult Sound System in London and then going to Cairo and recording with musicians there.
Mm-hmm.
This album, obviously the influence is Colombia. I worked with a group called Los Gaiteros de San Jacinto, who they played traditional gaita music, and they actually won a Latin Grammy back in 2007. So they've obviously made a big imprint on the sound of this record. And each record, I mean, if you start with my first record, Tempest, and then work your way through, you realize each record does really have quite a different sound. The first few records, I think, were more sort of straight rumba, and probably more influenced by the Gypsy King. And then as we move towards the more recent records, you know, they're influenced by the other artists I'm collaborating with, or just whatever is going on in my life. Like the Frontiers was a much more kind of introspective record. It was written around the time my son was born, so that, you know, that has an impact on somebody.
Yeah. When you went down to make this record in Colombia, did you go down there with a preordained thought in mind, or did you sort of go down there and say the slate is clean and let's sort of see what we can come up with, or what was your...
I had written all of the music, and in fact, I'd even written parts for them, but I went in with the understanding that I probably would not be using those parts. I mean, part of the reason to go down and work with musicians like that is you know, let them bring whatever they want to the table. So, the music that the song itself was written, or the songs, I should say, were written, but, you know, what they did on those songs was really very different from what I had written for them, which is kind of just the way I'd like it, actually.
Sure. So when did you start playing the guitar? You said you were listening to that since you were a child, and of course, going back and forth between France and Canada, you were exposed to lots of things.
But yeah, my mom actually managed to get me lessons by the time I was six. I think I'd wanted to play earlier, but I got enrolled in the Ellie Kasner Guitar Academy in Toronto, which is where, well, Ellie was the teacher that Leona Boyd studied with, and Norbert Kraft, a few great classical players came out of that school. And so as a young kid, I was fortunate to sort of have a good grounding in classical music, but I found after a while I wanted to improvise, and, you know, I even had a little period where I was playing rock music and bullied my parents into buying me a really cheap electric guitar and
of course
all that stuff. And then there was a period in my teens where I was into jazz, and I went to Berklee, which is a jazz school. And then throughout there was an interest in flamenco and flamenco hybrids. Like I really was influenced by the power trio of Paco Lucía, John McLaughlin, and Al Di Meola. And so through my teens, that was also a big, you know, motivator for practicing long hours and spending too much time on scales, you know.
Yeah, well, it all comes out in the wash, and what you're playing now, I'm sure, is influenced a lot by what you're playing.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah. I mean, it's constantly changing. I mean, there's so much music to learn out there that you could just keep chipping away at it little by little, trying to get better, you know.
In the grand terms of the genre now, the three musicians that you have with you, does this sort of represent, you know, sort of a typical instrumentation of the style of music, or is it...
that's the funny thing. I'm not even sure what the genre is. Like, honestly, there are a lot of people who are... I mean, if you go to Spain, they're taking more traditional flamenco and mixing it with the elements of jazz, but you can still hear the, you know, the traditional flamenco forms like bularia, solea, segueris, these forms. If you're in North America, you'll hear a lot of people, you know, sometimes it'll be rock guitarists learning Phrygian mode and doing something like that. Mm-hmm. In my case, you know, obviously the influence of the Gypsy Kings, but also Peter Gabriel is a big influence in terms of production and, and the, you know, trying to marry elements of world music into what I'm doing. I can't speak for other people within the sort of whatever that genre is that loosely ties us all together, but, you know, I can only talk about my own work.
But you have two guitarists, and you've got, you know, man of a thousand hands on percussion here, and you've got an accordion and violinist, sort of, so you've pretty much got your foundation of all the different types of things you'd want to do. You can stretch in several different directions.
Yeah, well, and also when we play a lot, this is, you know, what we do when we're trying to fit into a radio station, but on a bigger stage. Chendi actually has a full drum kit, which he's married with percussion instruments, so there's, you know, and the percussion instruments he's playing are things like djembe, which are West African, and darbuka, which comes from more from the Middle East, and then congas and bongos and timbales, which are more part of the Latin percussion arsenal. So, he, you know, he's sort of doing all of these things all at the same time. We used to actually have two different guys doing it, and then we found that Chendi could do both parts better than two guys. And then Chris over here, he's a classical guy. He's a classical violinist who came over to the dark side, you know, sort of went, got into improvising and messing with electronics. And then he also, over the years, he's been bailing me out year after year when I'll sort of go off into some new area, and he'll go, well, you know, I could probably learn how to play the accordion. So he'll pick up the accordion and learn how to play it, or even flute on this last one. I mean, we worked with Los Gaiteros, who play these giant gaita flutes. And so Chris, we had a go at the gaita flutes, but they're insanely long. I have no idea. I think you have to dislocate your shoulder to play them or something. So Chris just plays a normal penny whistle. Is that what you play, a penny whistle? Yeah. Yeah, low alto penny whistle. And then Nick is more of a, what can I say about Nick? I would say, comes more out of the flamenco puro background, like a more of a traditional flamenco player, but he also has his own work is sort of explaining, or is exploring, it's called Mi Camino? No. Biscando Mi Voz. Yeah, sorry, that's right. Look, Finding My Voice. And I don't know. I don't want to speak about your work in front of you. Anyway, suffice it to say that Nick, you know, is coming out of a more flamenco background, but he's bending the rules as well.
Great. Well, let's turn to the tune.
Okay. This is, what are we going to play? This is a song called Cafe Mocha. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Jesse Cook and company here, and live from Studio A, 103.3 KUMD. They're playing at Big Top Chautauqua tonight at, I think, 7:30 is the start time. And looks like the weather, for those of you who are interested, it's going to be decreasing clouds tonight. So hopefully the rain that we're being pelted with now won't be too much of a drag over there in the lovely Bayfield Apostle Islands area. You can look out at the lakeshore as you drive into town and head down to Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield and hear Jesse Cook and his friends play wonderful, wonderful music. Thank you so much, Jesse, for being here today.
Thanks for having us. It's been a real pleasure.
Wonderful. Fellas, thanks so much, and have a good time tonight. Stay warm. The moment you walk out of this studio, your body temperature will rise, I guarantee. So, all right, thank you so much, fellas, and good luck tonight. This is 103.3 KUMD Duluth Public Radio, streaming online as well at kumd.org. To check out upcoming guests or listen to this session again, go to kumd.org and click on Arts. Today's program was produced by Christine Dean and Chris Harwood here, your host, and funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This is live from Studio A and 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.